about how we can support, you know, each other and support, you know, how my role as a superintendent, how can I support my staff? And so when I came to Pecatonica, one of the things that we did is I started a wellness committee, and we were definitely focused on the wellness of students, but our main focus was on the wellness of our staff and what we could do to support the wellness of our staff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Danny Scott. Danny is the superintendent at Pecatonica Area School District, which is in Blanchardville, Wisconsin. Danny, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Danny, tell people a little bit about Pecatonica Area Schools and your role there.
Yep. So, I just completed my fourth year as superintendent at Pecatonica. We are a very small rural district, about 45 minutes from Madison. We have two buildings. Our elementary building is located in one community, a little village of about 300. And then our middle school, high school, is in another building, in a community about 15 minutes away. And that community is about 800. So, altogether, we have about 400 students. I've had the opportunity to work in all kinds of districts in terms of size, and absolutely love working in a small district. I couldn't be happier to be leading this district. So
you guys feed, if you're talking about 400 kids and you're in a 300 and an 800 people community, you're pulling from the area.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So absolutely. What is the longest? I'm just curious. My husband grew up in Rockford, Ohio, and he used to talk about when he was little, the bus ride. What's your longest bus ride for some of these kids?
We've got some kiddos that are pushing an hour.
Yeah. Are they? Yeah. Yeah. And that's just the way it is. It's not a negative to you guys. It's just that's rural America, folks. Yeah. It is really, you know, and you do that in the winter and you do that in the summer and you do it in the spring. You just do. Yeah. So. Yeah. That's great. I'm sure you have some amazing bus drivers. So kudos to the bus drivers.
Absolutely do.
They are definitely unsung heroes. Yeah. I didn't mean to bring them up, but yay, go bus drivers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit more about your staff and what you guys do to support your staff.
So we have altogether faculty and support staff, about 78 employees in the district, and about 45 teachers. In terms of pupil services staff, we have two school counselors. We have one speech and language therapist. We have, unfortunately, this last fall, we lost our school psych and director of special education after a courageous battle with breast cancer. We are still attempting to fill those very big shoes. But, you know, because we're such a small district, we often wear so many different hats. And so teachers and my two principals just jump in and do whatever is needed whenever it's needed. So it's never a question of, well, that's not my job. You know, that's somebody else's job. That's just not a philosophy that we operate under here. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you're in a smaller district, it's sometimes I've talked to, well, I'm technically the superintendent, but I'm also the principal and I also am the director of special education. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I tell people it's like when you start a business, you know, it's like I always use the analogy of that juggler spinning plates, you know, the one that's wobbling it, that's your role that day because that's the one that needs you the most, right?
Exactly.
So how do you support them? I mean, I know it's not 500 people, but what kinds of things do you guys have in place to support your staff? It's a tough thing when you do have to do multiple roles and How did you guys handle the loss? I mean, it's like that had to affect your staff too.
Yeah, it had a tremendous impact on our staff and our community. She had been with the district, for 15 years, so really, well rooted her family in this community. So we're still feeling it, honestly. Mm-hmm. It was a tremendous loss for us. So my background is actually as a school psych. I became superintendent. My entire career was in the world of special education and pupil services. And so I always had a passion for supporting mental health. And so typically in that role, it was, supporting the mental health of our students. And so when I stepped into this role as superintendent, it got me thinking about, what are we doing to support, the mental health and well-being of our faculty and our teachers, and our custodians and our secretaries and our bus drivers.
Bus drivers.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. and oftentimes, we as adults, we just kind of, go through the routine of our day and we just assume that everybody is doing okay. And, particularly teachers who, are trying to support those kids that are coming in with mental health challenges or, food or housing insecurities. And, they're really, and because we're so small, our teachers know our families so well. Yeah. That, they are personally affected, by the struggles that our students have. And so when I did my doctoral research, I looked at trauma-informed practices, more so supporting students. But one of the things, that I really became more familiar with, was secondary trauma or compassion fatigue. And so I really started to think about, outside of parents, teachers really are, the next adult that spend the most time with our kids. And so when they're mm-hmm. constantly, working with kids who are struggling in terms of mental health or behavior, it's so easy to fall or to get into that cycle of having compassion fatigue. And as adults, we just don't think about how we can support, each other and support, how my role as a superintendent, how can I support, my staff. And so when I came to Pecatonica, one of the things that we did is I started a wellness committee. And we were definitely focused on the wellness of students, but our main focus was on the wellness of our staff and what we could do to support the wellness of our staff. And so, there's been, a couple of things that that we've done. Some, come with a price tag, others don't. I think one of the things that, teaching is such a stressful job. And so yeah. Part of my role is to make sure that teachers feel like they have the tools and the strategies to be able to support the students that walk into their classroom every day. And people often think, because we're a small rural district of 400, that perhaps we don't place as strong an emphasis on professional development as perhaps, like a larger district of, I've worked in a district of 5,000. So, so that's really been a priority for me, is to bring in, top-notch, nationally recognized people to provide professional development to our staff. I am constantly, if things come across my desk in terms of conferences or trainings, I am sending that out to staff saying, hey, do you want to go to this? The district will support you attending this. And so really making sure that staff know that, the district supports that kind of opportunity. Another thing, I know obviously there are those things that happen, outside of the school day, whether it's getting together as a staff, for some kind of fun activity, bingo or whatever it might be, those things are great. We do some fun things during the school year, like you know, Secret Santa or Secret Valentine, you know, those kind of things are always fun.
Yeah.
You know, but there are, I think there are other intentional things that we can do as well. And so something that we've done actually the last 2 years didn't cost us a single cent, but I probably had more feedback on this one thing in terms of the positive impact that it had on our teachers. And so twice a year at the end of the semester, you know, teachers have days where they're spending it grading.
Right, right.
And so in talking with my principals, I'm like, you know, how can we support kind of the work-life balance around that time, end of semester? It's crazy. Teachers are trying to get everything graded, get it back. I said, I think one of the positives that came out of COVID is we learned that there are some tasks that you don't need to be in the school building for. Grading is one of those. And so what we did is we said, okay, you choose whatever environment is most beneficial for you in terms of work-life balance, where you feel you can, you know, accomplish, you know, your grading and get those tasks done. You know, whether you want to come into your classroom, whether you want to sit at your kitchen table, whether you want to go to a local coffee shop, you know, whatever it is. So again, implemented that, allowed and trusted our teachers to be the professionals that they are, and really supported, you know, that work-life balance. And again, you know, didn't cost us a cent, but I've gotten more feedback about that kind of thing. So kind of, so as a result of that, now when we have whole day in-service days, we set aside the first hour as their mental health time. And we say, whatever that means to you, whether it's sleeping in an hour later, whether it's going for a walk, whether it's doing yoga, whether it's getting another cup of coffee, you have an hour to do whatever you need to do to support your mental health. And then our professional development will start at 9 o'clock. So again, doesn't cost the district a cent, but it really sends the message to our teachers that we do want to support that work-life balance and support their mental health. So,
yeah, I'll tell you, I have not worked outside of my house since 2011, so 14 years now. And I think I work harder at home than I ever did working. I mean, I'm a CEO and I own my own business. It's a different kind of, the hard thing for me sometimes is turning it off, right? Yeah. Yeah. But I always tell people too, it's not, to me, it's not work. You know, there's that famous saying, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life, right? Find out what you love and you'll never work another day in your life. And it's so true because I do love what I do. And it is definitely, this podcast, I'll tell you, is just an extension of that because it's so fun. I get to meet so many incredible people and talk about the things that are happening around this country. And it's fantastic. And I have that. Some people would say I don't. I think my family is my worst critic because they're like, "Mom, you work too much." But I don't consider it work. So you know, it's like I love what I do, and I love that. I mean, it's the phone is there. I can take it with me, and I don't have to worry about it. But I get to help people all day long, and it's super fun. So I totally get the wanting that balance, and obviously you can't do everything from home, but giving them that opportunity to choose, and it doesn't cost anything, and it shows, I think, that you value their time immensely, that you're and you trust them.
Yeah,
and that's the other thing. You have to trust your people. And you know, I always say trust but verify, you know, make sure that things are getting done. But then allow them to do that. And it's incredible. It's an incredible thing. So what about the kids? How are you handling like the mental health? Because everybody's talking about social and emotional. So what kinds of things are you seeing, and what kinds of things are you guys doing for that piece of it?
Yeah, so obviously, I think, we're certainly not unique here at Peck in terms of the challenges that we're seeing. Seeing, younger and younger students, with more significant behavioral challenges, whether it's, self-regulation, how to handle those big emotions when they happen, attention deficit disorder, the wide gamut. We are definitely seeing that as well. We have two absolutely amazing school counselors. So they, they're doing, classroom lessons, they're doing small groups, they're doing individual, they're doing check in, check out with kids.
Nice.
They're going in and, supporting a kid in a classroom, perhaps. At our elementary, one of the things that we started when I came here, we have an absolutely, well, actually, all of our special education teachers are incredible, but one of our elementary special education teachers is really good with supporting kids with some of those more challenging behaviors. So we actually, carved out a part of her time where she is a behavioral support person, and it wasn't meant to necessarily support kids, but it was to help support teachers and how to strengthen their skills to be able to support those kids within their classrooms. So we've got that. We've also been fortunate to partner with an outside mental health agency. So we actually have an on-site therapist that comes in. So kids, because one of the challenges, obviously, in getting mental health services for kids is, getting them to the appointment. And so when we can remove that barrier and actually bring the therapist, to the school, that's just one less thing, for parents to have to worry about. And so that therapist comes in a couple of days a week and, meets with kids. And oftentimes, and we often have a waiting list for her to see kids. So yeah, it's just, and again, it's kind of more so we just kind of run out of either manpower or, not enough minutes in the day to be able to do all the things that we want to do. But I feel like, because we are such a small district, all of our teachers are really tuned in to the mental health and social and emotional learning of our students. And so our principals make it a point of, meeting with their people services staff and say, okay, who's on our radar? Maybe who's been, kind of a frequent flyer lately, who might need some more support, or kind of, or who's gone, quiet, and maybe we need to, pay some more attention about, somebody that's kind of,
And isn't always blaring, right? Right in your face or bad behaviors or whatever. Yeah. Sometimes it's just they just stop participating. Yeah. Everybody's different. Everybody responds to stress differently, for sure. Yeah, that's really good. That's really, really good. And it's sad that that is the world that we live in, unfortunately. And it just seems like coping and dealing, there's so many more things that they stress over. And I hate the fact that we have kindergartners and first graders. When I started my career, I've been a speech therapist for 31 years. You and I have probably been in education about as long. And that was never anything we talked about. I mean, it wasn't a big deal. It's like you got kids. I mean, and we didn't, we were like, behaviors, what are, why are they being bad, and that switched somewhere in the last 20 years. It's like they're not being bad, but that whatever their situation is, they're reacting to that. And I think that was a huge switch. But it's still, but then there's all of the things in society that have just come up, and it doesn't matter where it, whether you're in a humongous 20,000, 50,000 district or a small one with 100 kids, there's still those stressors and the phones and the technology and the and all of those things that we never had to deal with it. We never, I mean, it was just like, and then the summer boy, you just went outside. Go outside. Go outside. We were talking about that earlier today. Go outside. And when you turn the hose on, you got to let it run for a little bit because that water's hot. world. Now they're just like everything is right here on a tablet.
I know.
And it's like look up. Yeah. You know, and we're as guilty. I'm as guilty as everybody else, you know. It's like,
yeah.
Oh.
So, I know. Yeah, it is a different
Where's
world.
The balance, Danny? I don't know where that balance is.
I don't know.
Is.
I don't know either. Yeah, my son is a senior in college and my daughter just graduated high school. And I just like, I don't think you couldn't pay me enough to go back and to grow up in the years that they've had to grow up. And it's just a whole different world. So.
Yeah, and it's not going to change. It's not going to get any easier. It's if anything, it's getting. I think there are positive and negatives to all of it. You know, and like anything, like any tool that you have, you know, a knife is really great for cutting, but it can kill somebody too. You know,
right.
It's like,
exactly.
You just have to learn how to deal with it. And I've talked to principals and superintendents that are embracing the technology and some that are saying, no, let's try to limit technology. I don't know the right answer. I think that there's two sides to every coin, as my mama used to say. Right. So, But you guys are in the front line and you got to deal with the results of all of it. So,
it's tough. It's tough.
It is tough. It is tough. So, where do you guys go when you're looking for staff? I know you said you have these open positions. What kinds of things do you guys do to try to attract staff when you're as rural as you guys are? How does that work for you guys?
So here in Wisconsin, there's kind of a clearinghouse that I would say 100% of districts use to post vacant positions. So we certainly tap into that. Because we are only 45 minutes from Madison, you know, city of, over 100,000. Yeah, we do have quite a few teachers that commute from Madison. But again, you know, looking back when I started, you know, my career, you know, 30 years ago, when you had an open special education teacher position, you know, you would get 20, 30 applicants and, you know, and for a district the size of Peck, honestly, we're lucky if we get between 5 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, I think that's just, you know, the nature of the teacher shortage, you know, certainly here in Wisconsin, but I think just across the country as well.
Yeah, it's nationwide. I've talked to people in California and Florida and Maine and here in Texas and Wisconsin, Minnesota. It's everywhere. It's not one particular. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It is everywhere. As a matter of fact, Lighthouse Therapy is offering some special education teacher services because of it.
Yeah.
It was an area that I was like, okay, I'm a therapist. I know how to be a therapist. I know how to do that. And I had a really good friend of mine in California that we'd worked together about 5-6 years ago. And every 2 years in a row, she was like, do you have any sped teachers? Are you guys doing specialized academic instruction yet? And I was like, no, I don't know how to do that. No, that's not in my lane. No, I don't know how to do that. And finally I said, okay, well, we're going to bite the bullet. And we piloted it last year and it was a rousing success. And we're like, okay, well, it was a 2000 square mile district, huge district.
Wow.
Just miles. It wasn't it wasn't a huge district as far as kids go, but just an hour and a half between schools, right?
Right.
You talked about 15 minutes and it was like, and we ended up saving one of her teachers from having to make that drive, couple times a week. And so it worked out really well, but it's, you know, it's got to be the right situation for the right schools all the time. You know, that's one of the things at Lighthouse, and I don't mean to be plugging Lighthouse, but it's about finding the right solution for the school that you have and what you're doing. And so tell people that are in Wisconsin, where are you putting those ads? Is it okay for me to ask? Can you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just because I want to make sure that people know. Because if you're a new teacher and you're moving into Wisconsin, where do I look?
Yep.
So.
So the big site that every single district uses, it's called WECAN. So it's WECAN. So if you just search that, it's going to pop up and you can set up your profile. So put in your experience, references. You can upload a copy of your resume. And then you can search vacancies by role. You can search vacancies by which area of the state that you're in or where you might be relocating to. And so it's a pretty useful tool, and a lot of districts use that. You can apply for the position right on that site.
And then it
So
like feeds
it
to
feeds, yep. And
nice.
so yeah, it's a pretty slick system. I know larger districts, are using other platforms to as administrators, like our professional association will have a job board, and so send out
Asha does too. Yeah, they have a job board
emails
for
about
sure.
that. Yeah, but WECAN is probably, again, if not 100%, darn close to 100% of districts use that. So
Wow. Good to know. Good to
yeah.
know. Okay, one last question. And this is a question I ask frequently. Not everybody, but frequently I do. And it is one of those questions where in your world, and you can't say money because everybody needs more money. Everybody needs more money. So if you could miraculously solve one challenge in your school, what would you want to solve?
Can't say money.
Can't say money. Can't say money. I know. Everybody needs more money. I get it. I get it. Yeah. So.
Gosh. If I could solve one thing, I think it would be to get all of our students, and frankly, all of our staff, to a place socially and emotionally where they are ready to learn or ready to teach. Because if you're not at that place, neither of those things are going to happen. And
Very
we
true.
can teach and, do a dog and pony show till we're blue in the face, but that learning is not going to happen. And so that it just breaks my heart when I see kids that are just struggling just to hold it together, and so I want to, I want to take those kids and I want to, support them in whatever way. And I just think if we could just establish that baseline for everybody, I think so many things would be a lot easier.
Yeah, I agree. It's a tough one. It is definitely a tough one. And that question is great because it really shows where your heart is too. That's part of the reason why I ask it, because it's just, it's like your world. What is it in your world that you can fix? If you could, and it just is. And that's a great answer. It's a really great answer. So Danny, where do people go if they want to learn more about Pecatonica schools and you?
So they can search. However, there is a Pecatonica School District in Illinois. So if you are going to Google, I would search Pecatonica School District, Wisconsin, and you will find us. So.
And for those of you that are listening and cannot hear it, Pecatonica is Pecatonica. Pecatonica Area School District. Danny, it's been a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. I really appreciate you, and I love your passion.
Thank you so much for having me.